This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've got spring fever, Lowe's has the cure. During Spring Fest, make your landscape stand out with three free bags of Miracle-Gro 3/4 cubic foot garden soil when you buy three. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances to keep clothes, food, and dishes fresh all season long. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4/22 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after losing both of her grandparents within months of each other, she thought grief had taken its toll until something happened while she slept that felt far too real to be a dream.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, you can help support the show that way. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. You get no commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive if you do that. Hey, Kathy Gordon, how's it going?
Well, you know, pretty good. I have not had any more, like, knocking on the closet or anything.
What?
It's just been completely quiet.
Was it just a one-off? Was it more than one night? Wasn't it
two nights. Okay. Yeah. And the first one, I wasn't sure where it came from, the knocking. I just kind of was roused out of my sleep and thought somebody was at the door, you know. And then 2-3 nights later, I was just kind of dozing off, and it came from the closet, which is about 3 feet from me.
See, I don't like that.
But it hasn't happened again.
I like that.
And it was like, I try to, as we all do, figure out what could it had to be something, right? Was it, you know, like a heater turned on and it kind of made the door rattle a little or anything, you know, like that. And there is nothing like that as a possibility in there. And it was a knock, knock, knock. Not like something made the door kind of jiggle or something, but literally just a knock, knock, knock. Soft knock, knock, knock like that. It was very...
It have been a critter?
No.
Of some kind? Okay.
It really was not. Because, you know, I know the first time it happened, I thought somebody was at the door at 2 a.m. Because it sounded like somebody was knocking at the door. And then I sat up and I sat there for a little bit. Nothing.
Hmm.
And the other thing that's odd to me is my dog didn't respond.
See?
And... if it
you
was
could have been
critter,
having an auditory hallucination.
Maybe. But if it was a critter, he would have responded, right?
I would think.
So I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. If you guys have any ideas, like, is it something that happened that was just a sound only I could hear for some reason?
Well,
you know,
like we have been talking about those hallucinations, you know, it's not just a visual hallucination. You could also wake up in that in-between place and hear something.
But it was weird.
That's
it was
still like, part of your dream state. It's not really happening. It's a dream.
I don't know. It felt very, very real.
Yeah.
I did have Eric from Central Illinois reach out about the knocks in the closet. And he said that it was, he felt it was a family member letting me know they're here.
Oh, so maybe it's just like they're kind of watching out. Hey, just so you know, got your back.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I was like, okay, that's, you know. So anyway.
I like that. I like that idea.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to our first story. So it says, hi, RGSO team, ! I have two stories for you that aren't necessarily ghost stories, but more of spirit. So my first story. In 2020, my maternal grandmother fell ill, and the doctors did not feel she was strong enough to have the necessary surgery to treat the issue. Since my grandfather wasn't quite capable of caring for her on his own at home, the best option for the family was to put my granny under private care in a home that cared for a handful of people versus a full-scale nursing home. With COVID restrictions at the time, this put strain on both of my grandparents as visitations were no longer normal. My grandmother ended up passing away that fall, and my grandfather died a few months later. After his death, my family held a small gathering to celebrate my grandparents' lives. I can't imagine, that would be so hard. This celebration was one of love and laughter with a few tears. While the day was not emotionally exhausting, when I got home that afternoon, I was just overwhelmed with fatigue. I'm not one to typically take a nap in the afternoon, but I had to, as I could hardly keep my eyes open. I napped in my guest room, which had a bright, airy feel compared to my bedroom. I'm not sure why I even chose that room. At some point during the nap, I saw both my grandparents standing next to the bed looking down at me. I could see the brightness of the room and everything in it. My grandpa was standing behind my grandma as she held one of my hands between hers. I could feel her soft skin and see her wedding ring. They both looked down at me with no words, but the message I felt was almost of sorrow. When I woke from the nap, I was in shock as it all felt so real and so unexpected. Whether or not this was just a dream, my heart tells me it was a visitation from both of them to perhaps say goodbye. Gonna say yes on that. So that's the first story. Okay. The second story, in 2014, my paternal grandma was placed on hospice. Knowing she could go at any time, my family and I spent her final days sitting at her home and surrounding her with our presence and love. My daughter and cousin's kids were all close in age, between preschool and first grade. So they'd run around the backyard laughing and playing. My grandmother's room opened right out to the backyard, and I like to think those sounds helped soothe her as her soul prepared to leave this earth. While most of my family stayed each night at my grandma's, I'd go home since I lived close by. One evening after leaving her house, I found myself being shocked when I touched metal or anything electronic. I tried not to think much of it, but truthfully, there wasn't an earthly explanation for it. 2 days after the shocks, I woke up around 2:30 in the morning to an intense physical illness that I'd never felt before. I wasn't sure what was going on, but I was able to get myself to fall back to sleep. Around 6 a.m., I got the call that Grandma had passed earlier that morning. When I mentioned my early morning sickness, sickness experience, that's hard. To my aunt, she asked me what time that was, and when I told her, she said, that was about the time your grandma died. Much of my family surrounded my grandma as she took her final breath. Perhaps as her soul was making its final journey, she was able to connect to those she loved, or maybe there is something else that happens when our energy begins to transfer. I do often wonder if some of her energy attached to me each time I left her house. Thank you for keeping life feeling lighter in a time when things feel so dark. And that is, there's no name with that one. I definitely think both of those stories are that kind of visitation, especially the first one. That's kind of almost a typical visitation dream where you wake up and it's so real.
Yeah.
And the other one is interesting because it's almost like it's a stress-related dream, too, which is why she was feeling so sick, because the stress of worrying about her grandma. And then she wakes up really sick at about the same time her grandma passes.
But she might have a point here. about this energy passing through her.
Yeah.
That would make her have a sensitivity to metal. And also then feeling sick when her grandmother passed, as if maybe a rush of energy transferred through her.
Yeah.
At that time.
What do you think about the, like, she's shocking everything? Do you think that's just like the air was different? You know, because sometimes you do like shock a lot of things, it seems like.
There are, usually like, it happens because of static, you know, you're wearing a sweater that day or something that has got a lot of static in it. But I just wonder if it's this energy related thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, she was getting, that her grandmother was lessening and some of that energy from her was transferring out and it attached itself to her. And then when she touched something, she had more, you know, she had more energy than normal. So she super notices it.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, I feel so sad for anyone who lost a loved one during COVID, whether it was mm-hmm. COVID related or not. And this is exactly why, you know, yeah. you can't get to grandma.
Yeah.
And grandpa can't even get to grandma. Then grandpa dies and you can't really get to grandpa. And you know, so the fact that they could come to her, I yeah. think is really an important, mm-hmm. important message for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Our mother had a stroke during COVID and it was really tough because we couldn't go in to see her and, you know, she was there and we would try to get information, but, you know, tracking somebody down to tell us stuff, it was just, you know.
There was one place where she had to go for rehabilitation and you couldn't get
in. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. And we could not.
And she's like, one day, could you just come to the window with Buddy so I could see you? And I'm like, okay. And then that day with a wind chill was like 20 below. And I'm like, I just can't. I wish I could do it today, you know. And you can't just do that any day. You got to do it on the weekend when you can get there. So, yeah, it was really hard. And just not to be able to say goodbye.
And so many people went through that where they just didn't have that, you know, ability to be there, say goodbye, or even, I'm not even saying that be there at the last with them, but even days leading up or, you know, time before that you could have dropped in and spoken to them and, you know, let them know you were there and so forth. That was impossible for so many people. So I would think that we probably have a lot of people who have been kind of having this, you know, after the fact visitation from people because they weren't able to be there and to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet we have a lot of those stories out there.
So yeah, I definitely think those are two really profound experiences.
Yeah.
With people that you love. And I like stories like that because you can just, losing someone is just so impossibly difficult, and to get a message, or even like Eric telling you that someone you love knocking on your door mm-hmm. of your closet.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I would have a talk with your house and be like, okay, you can knock on the walls, but I got a thing about closets, so please do not knock from my closet.
And I have been talking to the house a lot. Like when I do things, I often explain to it what I'm doing. You know, I'm putting up these Christmas decorations or whatever, and then I'll take them down. I'm moving them. This just fits over here better, so I'm putting this set of shelves here, and I'm going to decorate this, so don't worry, it'll look great. You know, like, it's funny, but I find myself talking to this house all the time. I'm talking to something.
Say not from the closet. No.
Yeah.
Just put my foot down.
Yeah. Well, and I do believe I did say that.
Let's go to this phone call.
Hey, guys. My name's Cherish. I live in southern Georgia on the coast. And this started when I was little. We had just moved into the house my family built when I was about 4. And I would be upstairs playing in my room. My door would be open. And I would see things dart past my door out the corner of my eye. And, you know, after just moving in, my sister and I, our bedrooms were next door to each other. And she's 7 years older than I am. And so, you know, she wouldn't really play tricks like that on me when I was little. We didn't play a lot together because of the age difference. But, you know, thinking your sister's up to antics, I would get up and check, and she wouldn't even be upstairs. And it's not like she could have snuck downstairs really quick, because with it being a fresh house, freshly built, our stairs squeaked really bad. The wood would squeak. This is one of my earliest memories. You know, it would happen often. And coupled with that, I would hear my name being whispered, and then I would see the darting out of the corner of my eye, and sometimes I would see a face. And after a while, I stopped getting up to check because I never felt threatened. I was never scared. It was just this weird thing that I put up with and didn't really think to tell my family. Why would I? I wasn't afraid. It wasn't something that I would remember. Oh, you know, hey, Mom, hey, Dad. I saw people out the corner of my eye. I just never thought about it. That stopped when I was about, I guess, 7 or 8, when I stopped playing, you know, Barbies and dolls and stuff like that. But I was always terrified of the dark. Don't know why. To this day, I'm still pretty afraid of the dark. You know, my friends tease me, oh, you're an adult and you still won't go outside at night? Damn straight. I just have this sinking fear that there's something out there that I can't see that's going to get me. Never outgrew it. When I was little, I had to have a nightlight in my room or I wouldn't sleep. And I've outgrown that. I feel okay indoors if it's dark. You know, I sleep just fine now. But when I was little, I had these horrible, horrible nightmares. And I think I get this from my dad. We both have vivid, vivid dreams to where we can smell, we can taste, we can feel. And sometimes we honestly mistake dreams for memories. Not very often, but that's how real they are. And this one dream still resonates with me from when I was little, that I was asleep. I was probably about 6 at this age. And in my dream, my body was heavy, and there were these big, grown, like, muscular men hitting me, like, beating me. Why would a little girl have this kind of a dream? And anytime they made contact, especially hitting me in my face, these bright lights would flash in my dream, and I woke up terrified. And I remember laying in bed going, Mommy, Daddy? And I went screaming across the house to my parents' room, and needless to say, I slept in their bed that night. I do remember several times sleeping with my parents because of really bad nightmares, but that was the only nightmare that I still remember as an adult, because a lot of times you wake up and you almost instantly forget your dream. But for whatever reason, this one has stuck with me for over 20 years now. Nothing else really happened in the house. But then when I became a teenager, I would notice lights would flash around me. And it's not just at my house. It actually almost never happened at my house, but it would be out in public. And I was almost always by myself, but buildings would flash, the lights would start to flicker, or lampposts would flash. And we have a really, really big bridge here called the Sydney Lanier Bridge. There's lights across the entire thing. It's big enough that they do a 5K run every February here, just to give you an idea of the size. I was driving over it late one night, probably around 11 o'clock or midnight. And as I get to the bridge, you know, not a lot of traffic, I get to the first light and the light flickers out as I drive under it. You know, a light flickering here or there, not that noticeable. But as I passed every light, the light would go out. And then once I had gone driven past it, the light would come on. And just as I'm getting to the next light, that light would flicker out and then come back on as I passed it. And the entire bridge did that. So that was a little freaky. Then, you know, a little bit faster, I'm in college, and, you know, I'm starting to talk to this guy like, you know, young love, you hang out till 2-3 in the morning, you're young, you do that kind of thing. And we're out on campus. I went to Georgia Southern University, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We're by one of the big rotundas, like one of the main buildings on campus. And, you know, we get close to it, we sit down on a park bench, just talking, getting to know each other. and the whole building starts flashing. Not like, you know, the lights under the overhang or something like that. The entire building. And, you know, the guy I was talking to was like, that's kind of weird. And I'm freaking out because this kind of stuff happens all the time. And he notices my change in behavior and he's like, hey, what's up? And so, you know, I'm reluctant to tell him I like this guy. I don't want to scare him off, think I'm crazy. But finally, I'm like, you know, this kind of stuff happens to me a lot, like light flicker, that type of thing. And, you know, he kind of laughed. But as we sat there for like another hour at least, the whole building continued to flicker. We ignore it. Nothing else weird is happening. You know, I try to ignore it as best as I can, continue with the conversation. We go to leave, and as we start walking away, the further we get from the building, the less it starts to flicker. And finally, at a good distance, it stops altogether. The lights come back on. Nothing happens anymore. And so the last, you know, odd thing that I can remember happening, I'm out of college, I'm back in my hometown, I'm going to see a friend. It was winter time, so it got dark kind of early. Again, weird stuff always happens at night for me. Wonder why I'm afraid. Driving to a friend's house, and I don't really know what to think about this. I have a hard time believing it myself. There's like this globe of light floating over one of the marshes I have to drive by, and it's just hanging there. I'm like, is it a helicopter? What's going on? You know, not really paying too much attention to it. As I get closer, this thing just falls from the sky, like faster than you would think. Like, not just like something was there and then it fell, like it plummeted to the ground into the marsh and the light went out. And I'm like, there's no way I'm the only one that sees this. And like, traffic's just going on as usual, not that there was that much to begin with. But what the heck? Like, what is this thing? So this is kind of a culmination of things that have happened that are odd over my life. You know, you guys are great. I love that you analyze at the end of every story. Hey, you know, it could be this, it could be that, or it could be completely paranormal. And I'm the same way. Like, anytime something happens, I try to rationalize it in my mind. I totally, totally believe in the paranormal. You know, this stuff creeps me out, but I'm still fascinated. But at the same time, like, I'm trying to constantly find a reason for strange things to happen. Anyways, thanks for listening to my story. You guys are great. I've been listening for a few months now. Thanks. Have a great day.
So what do you think is going on with her? Any ideas? Because we've heard some, not exactly exact stories, but some similar stories about the lights and street lights and things coming on and off around people.
Yeah, that is not unusual. I'm thinking there's a couple things here. One is that she herself is responsible for emanating energy that causes that around her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when her emotions are maybe higher, I've met a guy, he's super cute or whatever, you know, she starts just emitting energy.
Kind of like out. Like Carrie in the movie. When kind of, she starts getting stressed back. And then bad things happen, this girl starts getting the anxiety ramped up or emotions ramped up, and it's creating an energy that's affecting other
things. I think there's two, right? So it's from within pushing out, and then it just messes with electrical currents around you, right? And big ones, bridges, you know, things like that.
I don't see how that could work. I wasn't there. But to me, if you're in a car and you're driving 50 miles an hour even, how could you do that?
Okay. So then that goes to B, which is it's outer coming in, right? That there's spirits trying to communicate. There's some sort of cosmic, you know, intelligence that wants to get your attention. And so it is flickering things around you to get your attention. So I think it's either, you know, you are excited and it's happening, or something's trying to communicate with you. Could we have two things happening? Could we have them both happening at the same time?
Yeah.
You know, that she has this kind of, you know, glowing energy, you know, a beauty within her that emanates this you know, electric, it's very strong. And, you know, I just think of it, what triggered that thought in me was her with the guy that she wanted to impress. I have a feeling, you know, she had the little flip-flops in her stomach. Her emotions were way up there. You know, her, you know, just her feelings were good and excited, and it was just coming off of her. And so buildings and things might react to that. Now, the bridge thing is big. Maybe that could be something's getting your attention.
See, that's the whole thing here is the why, the overarching mm-hmm. why. So if that is happening and the lights are going out, mm-hmm. why? Was there some big revelation that came to you? Was there something else that happened? Did you not connect two things maybe? Because it seems mm-hmm. like that's pretty extreme for no reason.
Yeah. And we have this a lot, but, and I know I say this a lot, but stop and think about that moment in your life. Was there anything that, you know, happened prior or after this that you could say that was kind of a big deal? That thing was big or whatever. Did anything happen around that time? Because it does feel like something big like the bridge is trying to get her attention. Well, somehow I feel like with the guy, it was her doing it.
So I don't know. I just think that if stuff like that's happening, I think you need to be kind of aware of other things happening.
Now, I want to back up for a second here, because there was a couple other, like, that's big. We're thinking in terms of this electrical energy, right, that's happening now. But she, as a child, had peripheral visions. Something just went past the door, right? I just caught a glimpse of something, you know, going by. And then it turned into whispering her name. Then it turned into she actually saw a face. She wasn't particularly scared of it because she was young and didn't know that's not normal, right? The dream thing, when she said she was only about 6, but dreamt of these men hitting her, that's weird.
That could be even a past life thing, maybe, or
that's what
it could
I was
have been.
Say
but
too.
It also could be she saw part of a movie that her parents were watching. That because, like, I had one of those just last night. Something that I'd been watching on TV, then I was dreaming about it, mm-hmm. and I know that's why, because I watched that on TV. So yeah. Maybe there was another external thing that came in that you don't always connect the two things.
And she was only 6.
Yeah.
So, you know. But it did still seem very vivid. And I guess, you know, maybe once again, a couple explanations. One that you just said, that you didn't really realize it, but you were really young and you'd seen something, you know, that maybe triggered that. Or you were seeing something from a past life or one of these spirits that you seem to be, that seemed to be around you at the time was kind of showing you something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it could go either way.
I think there's so many options here in a lot of these situations that she's talking about, but I think she needs to really stop and really kind of take an assessment of what's around her when these events happen.
Yeah.
You know,
because it doesn't make sense to me if things like that are happening with, now the dream, that's a whole different thing, I think. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that could cause a dream like that. Mm-hmm. But the other stuff, it doesn't make sense if it's happening for no reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah. That's why I said, I think there are reasons. Yeah. But stop and just take an assessment of what's happening, what's going on in your life, even the small things. Because I think sometimes it's those small things that we gloss over that really can provide more information to us.
Maybe start journaling. That might help.
That's a good idea.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So if you have a real ghost story and you want to share it with us, call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you want. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. That could all be yours. Sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.